Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center deep within the Civil Defense Radio bunker. We have a great show for you today, one that is cut right out of today's headlines, but with a twist. I'm sure there will be calls of fear-mongering and conspiracy theories, but I don't care. This threat is real. Even though the book we will be highlighting today isn't, or should we say, not yet real. So now let's get to our guest. Our guest today is Michael Ginsberg. He is an attorney in Washington, D.C., practicing in the field of national security law. He spent a decade in private practice at Arnold & Porter LLP in Washington, D.C., and then worked several years in the U.S. government as a senior associate general counsel in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, where he served as legal counsel for the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Activity, IARPA. He currently is vice president and deputy general counsel at a Virginia-based defense contractor. Ginsberg has also served in senior leadership positions in the Republican Party of Virginia and is the co-founder of the Suburban Virginia Republican Coalition. A 1997 graduate of Harvard College and 2002 graduate of Harvard Law School, he also holds a master's in aeronautics and astronautics from Stafford University, 1999. A native of Baltimore, Maryland, Ginsberg lives now in Virginia with his wife and two children. It is my pleasure to welcome Michael Ginsberg to Civil Defense Radio. Hello, Michael Ginsberg. Welcome to our show.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I noticed on Facebook your avatar came up, and it was pretty interesting to me. You know, it was a cover of your book, and I noticed also that we have quite a few people that we know in our different circles here. So that was interesting as well. But you know, your book, Debt Bomb, this thing is just the synopsis from the Amazon description was right out of today's headlines almost. It's almost prophetic.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, it's an issue I've been thinking about for a long time, whether it's, you know, the China threat, the debt threat, the threats to Taiwan. I mean, all of it is, you know, more or less, you know, very much, it ties in very much with current events.
So, Michael, can you give us a little more understanding of your story that you relate in your book and some of the things that you have seen that correlates with today's headlines and possible future events?
Sure, sure. So the book is focused on the U.S. national debt, which currently stands at about $28 trillion, pushing $30 trillion. And it looks at the question of what if someone tried to weaponize it, and you know who else but the Chinese, who are probably our most serious global rival and global adversary, really, to weaponize it to cause the United States problems and, you know, serious problems, the downfall, the breakdown of the American economy. And of course, you know, given China, of course, is a tremendous rival even today. So the book really looks at the, and it's a story, it's a novel, it is fiction, but it looks at the question of what if the Chinese government tried to engineer an American debt crisis by forcing or getting enough support for a boycott of American debt. So when the United States tries to borrow money by selling treasury bonds, it doesn't find any takers or not enough takers to fund the government, essentially. So that's the premise of the story, is that the Chinese government has hatched a plot to do just that. And the story, the heroine of the story is an accountant who becomes the OMB director, essentially the budget director for the United States, and who is forced to contend with all of the consequences from the debt crisis that the Chinese engineered. And, you know, without giving away too much, Taiwan figures prominently into the issue, because Taiwan, of course, is somebody that is relying on American protection, but also squarely in the crosshairs of Chinese perfidy. And so the United States, when it has a debt crisis, the theory is its ability to project power, its ability to work its will on the international stage will be gravely weakened and possibly, deeply diminished.
Yeah, Taiwan is an issue in the headlines right now because China has suggested Taiwan think twice about its relationship with us in light of what's going on in Afghanistan. And also they are conducting military exercises outside mm-hmm. of the economic exclusive zone of Taiwan right now. So there is a huge, huge threat from China to Taiwan, and that involves us too. I think this situation in Afghanistan has weakened us in many aspects, and I wonder how much of it is by accident. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I, like you, have spent some time in the intelligence field, and I see things from a strategic point of view, and it's quite disconcerting. The threat that we see from China and from other actors because of American weakness.
I think that's exactly right. I think what has happened in Afghanistan over the last couple of weeks is an absolute abject catastrophe for the United States, not only in Afghanistan, which, you know, there it's a catastrophe enough, and the potential for the reestablishment of a terrorist safe haven. But it also has second and third order effects throughout the world. And as you quite correctly point out, China is, you know, prominent among them. They have been crowing over this, and they have very explicitly in their press threatened Taiwan to say, you ought to think twice before depending on the United States. Taiwan will not be the only country that thinks that. I think there was already some degree of question whether or not the United States would really truly go to war over Taiwan or South Korea or another country dependent on American protection, even Israel, if its security was really hanging in the balance.
That's true.
But now, you know, this the events in Afghanistan have really put this question into much sharper relief, and forced everybody who is dependent on American whether it's protection or security guarantees, to think about just how ironclad those guarantees truly are. And certainly, you know, the point of the book is to not only point out that fact that it is very difficult for us to, we already are struggling with the people being able to take our guarantees seriously. But when you combine that with the constraints that a massive national debt puts on exactly how we can operate in the real world, those two things are that's kindling for a major conflagration.
Yes, and that's, in the preparedness realm, mm-hmm. which, you know, civil defense was originally the original prepping model, other than, you know, the lifestyle of those who grew up in pre-industrial age, it is a huge threat for us and one that we should be prepared for, because a lot of people have this this idea that we are the United States, we are invincible, we can survive anything and we will come out on top. Well, that didn't work out so well for Rome, did it? It was destroyed from within. And that's what I think is happening here today in our country. We're being destroyed from within because we cannot be defeated from without, just like Rome. So your book, which I unfortunately have not read yet, I like the Audible version, but I may be ordering your book here real soon, just to have it and read it when I'm finished with the one I'm currently reading. But it identifies some of the threats and some of the threats that would take place. Some of the, actually not threats, but the cause and effect. The cause is the debt problem. The effects are the things that come about of it or from it. Can you give us a little idea of some of those effects from the cause?
Sure, sure. I mean, you've pointed to many of the foreign effects. You know, the ability to be able to staff a well-funded, well-equipped, modern, cutting-edge, qualitatively and quantitatively superior military. So that's a huge effect. Another effect, obviously, is domestically. We have major. At this point, many of our citizens are dependent on government programs of one kind or another, whether it's Social Security, whether it's Medicare, whether it's Medicaid, and all of these things are dependent on the continued ability to be funded. And if Social Security were to disappear or to be drastically cut back, if Medicare were to be drastically cut back, obviously, you know, the folks that are dependent on that funding for their rent or their health care would be dramatically affected. But so would all the industries that support that, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, whether it's the nursing home industry, whether it's assisted living industry. I mean, you name it. There's so much of the economy is bound up in government spending that any hiccup, any major interference with that would have, again, not only dramatic effects for the individuals involved, but downstream effects for the entire economy. So you really do risk a domestic crisis in addition to a foreign crisis, the inability of the United States to maintain the kind of military to be able to project power in a way that we can pursue American interests abroad.
Yes, it's you know, I read a book years ago and I was trying to find it this morning before I called you, and I can't find my copy and I can't remember what the title of it was, but it was essentially Japan using our markets against us. And it was like 30 years ago it was written, and it had a pretty interesting storyline as well. But this here, I think, is even more more compelling, although there's a financial markets aspect to it too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, the premise of the book is that, you know, the markets essentially boycott American bonds. And while that's probably a stretch to be happening today, because no one country is buying enough American bonds to itself pose a threat, a collection of countries, or, you know, if there was a critical mass of countries that said, you know, we just don't have any appetite for any more American debt, And we see what you're doing by printing dollars and simply buying your own debt and inflating your currency, and we are going to make you stop. That risk is real. And whether it manifests itself in the kind of sudden debt crisis that I discuss in the book, or whether it is a gradual and then sudden process, which takes place over a longer period of time, there's no question that there is this cannot go on forever. And as the famous economist Herbert Stein used to say, anything that can't go on forever will stop. And where it stops and when it stops and how it stops is unpredictable. And, it's like the housing crisis. We kind of gambled, and we knew we were gambling, and we knew it was going to come to an end. We didn't know how. And, we were all taken aback, but we probably shouldn't have been. Same with this. This is probably the most predictable coming crisis in American history.
Yes. And our politicians just keep on adding on and adding on and adding on. It is unconscionable, the irresponsibility, and they have to know what this does. And it seems like they are following the Cloward Piven method of bringing us down from within by bankrupting us as a nation and causing us to go into a Venezuela type of environment. That is very, very real, is it not?
Yeah, no, I think it is. I mean, I'm not sure every politician does, really appreciate that, the magic money, there is no magic money tree. It doesn't really exist. There are these proponents of what they call modern monetary theory, which is essentially if you're printing your own money, you can go to town and it will never matter. But that's, it's a theory, and it's only a theory. And I don't believe that it's true. At the end of the day, whether it's, in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, somebody is going to say, why don't we see if the United States can pay back some of this debt before we loan it more money? And at that point, you can have whether it's slow or fast sort of cascade into debt crisis. So Venezuela is the same way. It went slowly and was propped up for a time by oil commodity prices, but eventually it found itself in the state it is today. There's that famous Hemingway line, when the sun also rises, how did you go bankrupt? It was first gradually, then suddenly. And we don't know when that suddenly is going to hit. And that I think is a very terrifying scenario, because it's in other people's hands. And that's maybe the premise of the book, that not everybody whose hands it's in means us well.
Yeah. And that's both foreign and domestic, without a doubt. I think we have people that are, I know, because I can see them on the news every day just about, talking about all the things that are degrading our nation in so many ways, from critical race theory to defunding police to the debt. And if it wasn't for the military, which they're attacking also with the CRT theory, philosophy, and all that, and the LGBTQ issue and all that. I mean, they're attacking us in so many ways that if somebody made a list, the list would be it'd be too big to really understand all the ways that our nation is being taken down. But there's I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Certainly when it comes to the debt, there's a real sort of almost a decadence about the way politicians approach this issue. I mean, they think this can go on forever. They have no appreciation for thrift or the downstream consequences. I don't even think a lot of them appreciate the downstream consequences and the downstream risk. It's very short-sighted. And when you think generationally, it's very selfish, because they are loading this burden onto generations to come, not necessarily themselves. So, But of course, you know, it could be on ourselves, because if we continue to borrow at short term amounts and interest rates will go up, it's very similar to the housing crisis, right? You had people that had mortgages, those what they call those adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs, and they're borrowing at a low rate, but then when it comes time to renew, it's a high rate, and then they can't afford it anymore and they're underwater. We risk the same thing if we continue to borrow short-term amounts and establish all these programs that we're unwilling to cut. So, you know, there is almost a sort of a Roman decadence about it.
That's a good way of putting it. It is a Roman decadence, that's for sure. I'm going to quote you on that.
It's a bacchanalia of spending. I mean, it really is. It's a hedonistic bacchanalia of spending is what it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know you've got another call coming in here real soon. So in the last 2 or 3 minutes, can you give us any final words that you want to get across to the audience and, you know, promote your book?
Sure. I mean, I would say, you know, check out the book. You know, I would love for you to check out the book. It is very much it's a commentary, you know, on at some level, you know, on the unseriousness of everybody in dealing with the debt and the need to sort of really get serious about it. So you can visit my website, michaelegensburg.com, or you can go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and you can get the book, Debt Bomb. And you know, it's also a fun book. I mean, I would say, you know, it's not just a sort of a downer. It's actually, you know, I love spy books. I love James Bond, and I tried to make it an engaging and entertaining book, in part because I thought, you know, that would appeal to people that might, you know, otherwise think this topic is kind of dry. I guess I would impress upon people that, and this was an experience that I had when I was in the government, I was astounded at just how big the government is. I don't think there's anybody that could tell you everything the government does. In fact, I think there's somebody tasked at the OMB with reporting on every program and every, you know, project and every item we spend on, and that person has been unable to do that, or that office has been unable to do it. It is so gargantuan and it is so all-encompassing that when it stops, if it stops, it is going to take down a whole bunch of stuff with it. And that keeps me up at night. It kept me up at night when I was in the government. It keeps me up still. And as we talk about $3.5-4 trillion bills for infrastructure, you know, whatever they're calling infrastructure these days, I think it's almost divorced from reality. And as this week shows, I think there's a lot of divorced from reality in the current administration.
Yes, that's definitely true. Definitely true. Michael, it's a pleasure having you on. I will have your links at the bottom of the show notes for anybody to click on, and I will have a link to the book on Amazon there. And I wish you great success, and I hope to have you back again so we can talk a little more in depth after I've had a chance to read your book and see where things have gone. As compared to some of the scenarios that may be in your book. I really feel that what I was able to garner from the synopsis at Amazon, it will be a great book, and you will have great success. At least that's what I'm praying for.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do appreciate you reaching out to me and the opportunity to speak with you and to your listeners. You know, I really do appreciate it, and I would be delighted to join you again for even more in-depth conversation.
Great. I look forward to it. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Telegram, which I really love that program, that app. We're there at Civil Defense Radio channel, MeWe at Civil Defense Radio, and our YouTube channel, which has been a little derelict right now, but that's at Civil Defense Radio channel also. I have deleted Twitter, and I'm looking for other program, other apps and media to reach out on. So those will be coming later. Most of the items we post are important information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. However, when I do find something funny, I'll post that also. So please consider this information and use it wisely in your planning and preparation for whatever it is to come. I wish to thank our guest, Michael Ginsberg, again for being on our show. And I'd like to thank you, our American and international friends who listen to us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.